Acts 8, beginning at verse 26, what we hear now is God's Word. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him, and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 32 in the back section. Page 32, this is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25. This morning we will look at questions 65 through 68. I'll read the questions. You may respond with the answers from page 32 in the back of the Psalter. "You confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and all His blessings. Where does that faith come from?" What are sacraments?
Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They are instituted by God, so that by our means of them, you might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel, and might put a seal on that promise. And this is God's gospel promise: to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone, on the cross."
Are both the Word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament?
Two: baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Well, this morning we have come to what is really the halfway point in our study of the Heidelberg Catechism. You know, the Heidelberg Catechism has 52 Lord's Days, but really Lord's Day 25, we are now moving into the second half of the Catechism. Most of the time in the first half, We spent looking at the basic truths of the Christian faith as they're explained for us in the Apostles' Creed. We talked about God our Father. We talked about God in Jesus Christ His Son. We talked about the Holy Spirit. And in all of those things, we saw that every believer, every true believer, can confess the truth of the Apostles' Creed. That is why it is called an ecumenical creed. It is a creed that can be confessed around the world by everyone who confesses the true God, the God of the Scriptures. Then, in Lord's Days 23 and 24, we transitioned just a bit as we talked about grace and faith and works. We reminded ourselves that the ground of our salvation is not what we have done, but the ground of our salvation is Jesus Christ alone, what He has done for us. It is God's grace seen in Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins and that then calls us to good works. But we saw that truth was embraced, that truth was appropriated by our faith. Our faith is not the ground of our salvation. Christ is the ground. But our faith is the instrument God uses to bring that grace to us. Faith is important. And so as we transition now to the second half of the catechism, and as we go into this section on the sacraments, it begins with the question, you confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and all His blessings. Where does that faith come from? If it is by faith that we embrace the blessings of God's grace, where does that faith begin? How does it grow? Where does it come from? And this leads us very naturally into our understanding of the Christian sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And as we transition here from the Apostles' Creed, a creed that all Christians can confess, and we turn now for the next couple Sundays to our look at the sacraments, we see the Catechism focusing more distinctively on the particulars of the Reformed faith. The Apostles' Creed is a Christian creed. It's an ecumenical creed. All Christians can confess it. But now when we talk about the sacraments and our understanding of the sacraments, the confession becomes more particular in looking at how the sacraments have been understood from Scripture in the Reformed tradition. And that's what the confession does for us. Ecumenical creeds, they unite us with all of Christianity. But the confessions of the church, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, the Canons of Dort, they tend to distinguish us from other like-minded believers. I don't like to use the word divide us from other believers, but they tend to distinguish us. The Apostles' Creed is the dividing line. If you cannot confess the Apostles' Creed, you are not a believer. But here we become more focused in what do the Reformed churches understand takes place in the sacraments. And what is the place of faith in our lives? And where does that faith come from? And how does that faith grow? If it is so important, if you confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and all His blessings, where does that faith come from? And the simple answer, the Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it through the use of sacraments. The preaching of the gospel and sacraments, that which we call the means of grace, the means by which God brings His grace to us by faith. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next couple Sundays together. How does faith begin and how does it grow? Where does it come from and how is it strengthened? Preaching and sacraments. Both demonstrated for us, and the power of both demonstrated for us in this story from Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so as we look at the truth of what the confession says, we see it lived out in this story from Scripture, this story from Acts chapter 8. Where does faith come from? How is it produced? The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts. we acknowledge again right away that faith is a gift. It is that which has been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In our tradition, we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit or His work. In fact, we even saw that in our look at the Apostles' Creed. There's a big section in the Creed about Jesus, about what He did, about His birth, about His life, about His death, about His suffering, His resurrection, His ascension. I think if I asked our children this morning, what is it? Give me just one thing that Jesus does for you. Or what did Jesus come to do? I'm sure even our children could tell me. He came to die on the cross. He came to take away our sins. He came for us. If I asked you, what did Jesus do, children? I believe you could tell me. But if I asked you, children, or perhaps asked your parents, what does the Holy Spirit do? What is His role? What is His work? What does He do even yet today? Oh, we know what He has done in Scripture. We read about some miraculous things there. But what does He do today? We have to remind ourselves that the work of the Holy Spirit is ongoing, is necessary. The Holy Spirit is the one who produces faith in our hearts. That faith which is necessary to embrace the gospel, that faith which is necessary to embrace Jesus Christ, is not natural within us. We cannot whip it up within us. But it is a gift given to us. By whom? A gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who produces faith in our hearts. He is the one who takes the accomplished work of Christ, that final sacrifice offered, and applies it then to the individual lives of believers. Faith is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts. And in doing that, the work of the Holy Spirit to produce faith in our hearts, the Holy Spirit chooses to do that through the use of some particular means. Now, God could give us faith, we might say, immediately. That is, without the use of means. God could simply zap someone out of the blue and suddenly they come to faith. But God has chosen not to produce faith immediately, but to produce it mediately. That is, through the use of means, through the use of tools. The Holy Spirit produces that faith. It's a gift from Him, but He chooses to use particular means to produce that faith in our lives. And He was free to choose any means. The Holy Spirit could have said, I am going to produce faith in the lives of God's chosen by having them go out to the lake, sit in the sun, relax by the water, and contemplate nature. The Holy Spirit could have chosen that means. He did not. The Holy Spirit could have said, I'm going to choose to produce faith by the singing of particular songs. That's going to be the means I'm going to use. He didn't choose that means. But the Holy Spirit chose to use the means of the preaching of the gospel. That's His choice of how He will produce faith in the hearts and lives of God's chosen. Preaching is God's appointed means for bringing people to faith. And that's one reason it's so important to come to church. This is where the Holy Spirit works. This is where He works to produce faith in our hearts. He could have chosen any means. But he chose to use the preaching of the gospel as his means to implant faith, to build faith, and to grow faith. It is God's appointed means. So as you are witnessing to those around you, as you're telling them the glories of the gospel, that's a wonderful thing. But then bring them here. Bring them to the workplace of the Holy Spirit, where God, through the preaching of the gospel, will produce faith in their hearts. This is where God works. And in spite of what we are told today, preaching is still a means of grace. It is sometimes seen as foolishness. That we would think that a man declaring a message can affect someone's heart. Well, it's not simply a man declaring any message. It is God's messenger declaring the gospel. And God has chosen that means. He has appointed that way to produce faith. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 8. In spite of what may seem to be some strange choices that were made, in spite of what may even seem to be foolishness, God works in the life of this Ethiopian. Philip is told by an angel of the Lord to go south on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, Philip already had a thriving ministry in Samaria. Things were going very well for him. It seems foolish to take this one who has a strong ministry and say, I want you to go out to the desert, to this desert place. Children, the desert is hot. The desert is uncomfortable. We are here in air-conditioned comfort, in rather nice conditions. But imagine next Sunday that it's going to be a hot day and a humid day. And the elders let everyone know, we're not going to be inside church, we're going to be meeting out in the parking lot. And it's going to be hot and it's going to be humid, and we want you to come. Well, that would seem like foolishness. Philip had a thriving ministry, and he's told, go to the desert. And some of you perhaps have a footnote. He's told to go down south on the road. That also has the implications. He was told to go down to the desert in the middle of the day. It doesn't come across so well in English, but in Greek a little bit better. He was told to go into the desert in the middle of the day. Anyone who's lived in the desert knows you do not travel in the middle of the day. You go early in the morning, or you go in the evening, but you don't go into the desert in the middle of the day. It doesn't make any sense. But that's God's direction to Philip. Go south on the road that goes to Gaza. It's a desert place. I want you to go in the middle of the day. And Philip does what God says. He arose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of all her treasure. He had come from Jerusalem and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. As an important official, he would have a chariot driver, so he could be at his leisure and sit there in the chariot and be driven along. And as he is driven along, the Spirit tells Philip, now go over and go next to that chariot. So Philip runs up alongside, hears him reading from Isaiah, and asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? The answer given by the eunuch is so beautiful. How can I, unless someone guides me? I need someone to explain this. In our language, we would say, I need someone to preach to me, to tell me what this Word of God says. And he invites Philip to come up, and they look at the passage together. And the eunuch asks the question, who is he talking about? They're reading from Isaiah. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? And we read in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. From Isaiah, from the prophet, looking at what would happen to Jesus, the suffering servant of his people. From this passage, Philip opened his mouth, explained the gospel of who Jesus was. The preaching of the word, the instruction from the word of God, is what was used to produce faith in the heart of this man. God used Philip preaching, used Philip's instruction, used the Word of God as that means of grace, as that tool of the Holy Spirit to produce faith in the heart of this man. How is it, and where does faith come from? The Holy Spirit produces in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. It is that preaching of the Gospel that begins faith in our hearts. It's the preaching of the Gospel that strengthens faith also in our hearts. The preaching of the Gospel not only begins that faith, but it strengthens us in our faith. If that were not the case, then once you came, heard the Gospel, and were saved, you'd never have to come again. But we must be continually strengthened by the preaching of the Word, continually strengthened by this God-appointed means of the Holy Spirit to not only produce faith in our hearts, but to grow faith in our lives. The ongoing intake of the preaching of the Word. And that should be sufficient. It should be sufficient to come again and again and hear the Word of God declared to us. But God knows. God knows us. He knows how weak we are at times. He knows we become distracted with the preaching of the Word at times. And so God, in His goodness, has another means of grace, another means to strengthen us in our faith. God gives us pictures of the Gospel. Not only the telling of the Gospel, God gives us pictures of the Gospel. We're told we live in a visual age. And that's all around us. Pictures on the TV, pictures in movies, pictures in magazines, pictures declare the message. God knew us, knows us, knows our weakness, knows our desire to see something beyond just hearing something. And God condescends to our weakness to give us pictures of the Gospel. Faith is produced by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. Faith is confirmed through our use of sacraments. Sacraments, children, are pictures. The confession says sacraments are holy signs and seals. They are signs. They are pictures of something. Pictures of what God does for us. When a child is baptized, there is water. It is something we can see. It is something that runs over the child. The child feels it. They touch it. It's a picture of the washing away of our sins. A picture that we have been washed by Christ's blood and by His Spirit. Oh, the water is only external. The water is only on the outside. But it's a picture for us that just as surely as water washes away dirt from the body, so Christ, by His blood and Spirit, washed away all my sins. God gives us a picture. In the elements of the Lord's Supper, we take and we eat the bread and the wine, but they are pictures of the body and blood of Christ being spiritually strengthened again and again and again. That God doesn't leave us after producing faith. But God gives us these pictures to grow our faith in Him. Pictures. The drama of worship. Somebody asked me one time, why don't you like drama in worship? I said, I do like drama in worship. I like God's appointed drama. That's what the sacraments are. God's appointed drama, God's appointed picture, something visual, something our senses can embrace as we take the bread and the wine and we touch and we smell and we taste. It's a drama played out before us of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We like God's appointed drama. If you think the services aren't exciting enough, if you think there should be drama, then come to a sacrament service. as God's drama is played out. In God's goodness, next Sunday, Lord willing, we will have both the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It will be a service of drama as God not only declares to us the truth, but shows forth the truth in the God-appointed means, the preaching and the sacraments. Sacraments are holy signs, pictures for us to see, to touch, to taste, to embrace with our senses the glories of the declared gospel. They are holy signs and seals. They are guarantees of what God has done. Now, the sacraments themselves are simply external. The bread and the wine remains bread and wine. But it's a picture of an internal reality, of a promise that God has made, that He will surely strengthen us by Christ's body and blood, just as surely as we take and eat the bread and the wine in His presence. They are seals, they are guarantees that God is at work. He is active. He has not left us. If you are feeling weak, if you are feeling low in your faith, then come next week and partake of the drama of the blessing. Take and eat and be spiritually strengthened by the body and blood of Christ. They are holy signs. They are holy seals. And we see the use of the sacraments here also in Acts chapter 8. Philip preaches the gospel. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit took Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more. They're driving along. The eunuch sees the water, the visual sign. And he says, "What prevents me? Can't I be baptized too?" And they go down into the water and Philip baptizes him. And as they come back out, all of a sudden Philip disappears. He's gone. Think about what had happened. He'd been driving in the desert, in the hot, in the middle of the day, sitting back in his chariot. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And I don't know about you, but I think if I was sitting outside in the middle of the day and it was hot and I was reading from the prophet Isaiah, my eyes might get a little heavy. I might begin to wonder when a man suddenly appears and then he suddenly disappears. Was it a dream? Was it a vision? Was it real? Did I perhaps imagine the whole thing? Sitting here in the chariot, in the hot, and reading, and did I imagine what took place? And the eunuch could say, "No. I felt the water. I felt the water. I know it wasn't just a dream. I know it wasn't just a vision. I experienced it. I went down to the water, felt the water. I can remember that what the words that man said were true, and it really happened to me." The sacrament was an assurance of his faith, an assurance of what had taken place, an assurance that what he remembered actually happened. Now, many of us can't remember our baptism, but every time we see a baptism, we are reminded. Every time we see that water placed on that child, we are reminded we were baptized. We know it. The sacrament is a reminder to us of what God does. We experience them to confirm us in our faith, to assure us in our faith, to strengthen us in our faith. Next week we'll come together to celebrate the sacraments. Baptism given to one of our covenant children, and we are reminded that as the promises are for that child, so the promises are for us. We will come together around the Lord's table, and we are reminded as we taste, as we take, as we touch, that this is real. God's work is for us. It's not just a dream. It's not just a vision. He has given Christ for our salvation, and we come to be strengthened in our faith. The blessings of the means of grace. This morning, once again, the call of the gospel goes out. Jesus Christ is the one who saves us from our sins. Have you placed your faith in Him? Have you heard Him speak to you through the Word this morning that He is the one and the only one who can wash your sins away? He is the one who is pictured in the water of baptism. Have you by faith embraced Him? And if you have, then come with joy next week to remind yourself again what He has done for you. The promises and the fulfillment. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Come and be strengthened and have your faith grown by the means of grace. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You that in Your goodness, You have not only given us the preaching of the gospel, as wonderful as that is, and as sufficient as that is, but You have condescended to our weakness to give us pictures as well. Lord God, we pray that through the means of grace, You might strengthen us. You might grow that faith in our hearts and lives, that more and more we will be devoted towards service to You. More and more we will love You and embrace You and praise You for who You are and for what You have done. Oh Lord God, work this morning. Work now through Your means to bring us closer to You. Hear our prayer, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.